I'm Cyndi Lauper. My psoriasis was all over, even on my scalp, which may mean four times the risk for psoriatic arthritis. But Cosentyx works on both.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB. Serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. Cosentyx may lower ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at Cosentyx.com or 1-844-COSENTYX. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
SecondCityHockey.com.
Jonathan Toews.
Commit to us. Commit to the jersey. Commit to our people here.
Welcome into another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton. Got my two usual line mates with me here on this Tuesday evening. First off, it is the analytics darling of Second City Hockey, Shepherd Price.
Hi. We were talking about Jonathan Toews before this, and now again, I'm sad. Every time, it's sad every time we talk about Jonathan Toews.
Yeah, it's still sad, and it's still weird, and I hope for a happy resolution, but every week that goes by that there's no news,
yeah,
I feel like the odds go down. So
I miss him. I miss him so much. And the Blackhawks are currently on pace to be a playoff team, and it just doesn't feel right without Toews.
I was watching last night was the 8-year anniversary of the game at Soldier Field where they beat the Penguins, and Toews just went all Toews on the Penguins.
Yeah.
And just like, it was kind of just, it bugged me out because it was fun to remember because I got to go to that game, and it's one of the best impulse buys of my life. But I also like seeing Toews in that game because he was like a 5-year-old kid skating around playing hockey in a snow globe. Yeah, kind of depressing. So, but we've got my other line mate tonight, and I've got the introduction lined up for him. He is to Second City Hockey what Dallas Green is to Alexis on Fire. It is Mil Savic.
You know, Dave, you got to remember one thing. Eat all you want. Take all you can eat. I said it backwards, but it was a Simpsons quote. That's why I feel about the Hawks, though. It's like the, you know, eat all you want or take all you want, but eat all you take. But they do it backwards.
Do we have to do the food take now? Like, we're already talking about food, and we've just got started.
Well, I was talking about tough shots.
Oh.
Okay. Cool. Okay. I was going to say, they take – all they eat all they want, but they have to take what they eat.
Yeah,
I think that's backwards.
It's backwards. Just like you got 45 shots on and then you win 7-2.
Okay. Now I'm seeing where you're going with this.
This is confusing, but so is this team. So
yeah. Yeah. No, they played Saturday night against Detroit and gave up more shots or controlled like possession, like had more shots, better chances, better quantity and quality, all that, and lost. And then they come back on Sunday, don't do so well on the possession side of things, but beat the shit out of Detroit.
Thomas Greiss sucks.
Thomas Greiss sucks really, really bad. I was not aware of just how bad he was until it got to like that third period of a beer league game where it's just your skaters don't care and the goalie's just going to get lit up and he's going to want to murder every single one of his teammates in the parking lot because they're not doing anything to stop the other team. But
dude, they left the high slot wide open and Zadorov picked his corner. I was like, come on. Like, that's insane.
I think after the DeBrincat one, I thought Greiss was just going to – when he went full Mike Smith on his goalpost with his hot stick.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that guy really proves that anybody can play on the Islander system recently.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, I think I'm going there next season to see how that works out to launch my goalie career.
They should pick up Scott Darling on the cheap.
He is available since he's no longer playing with Rockford. But before we dive into actual Blackhawks talk, I wanted to let you know that you can follow me on Twitter @_DaveMelton. Shepherd is @ShepherdPrice. Mill is @Mill182. You can follow the Second City Hockey main account @2NDCityHockey. Also visit the website secondcityhockey.com for all Blackhawks things on game days and non-game days. And also rate, review, subscribe, follow wherever it is you get your podcast. Any 5-star reviews we get would be much appreciated. But gentlemen, before we look ahead, I just want to take a quick look back to the weekend's games. And Mill is going to appreciate this more than you, Shepherd, because of our we can remember the early 2000s when the Blackhawks were the laughing – well, not – oh, yeah, they were the laughing stock of the NHL, and the Red Wings were at the height of their powers. And anytime Detroit would show up at the United Center, it would be like the Stanley Cup for the Hawks. And they'd win a few of them, but for the most part, Detroit kicked their asses. So all of this is to say – it is pretty damn fun to see the Red Wings be this shitty again.
I mean, I'll never get tired of it.
No. So. No. I would happily watch that third period of that 7-2 game on Sunday. I could watch that several more times.
And I want to reiterate what you said. Like, I don't think people realize there's rivalries in every sport, but mm-hmm. like when you would go to the United Center for those games, there were fights in the 300 level.
Oh yeah, it was not a friendly thing. And back in that era, that was when like the way Blackhawks fans take over road stadiums now, Detroit fans used to take over the United Center.
Oh, there's always more Detroit fans in our section.
Mm-hmm. But it's like the way I described it to non-hockey fans was, it's basically like the Bears-Packers rivalry, but the Blackhawks are the Packers, and the Red Wings are the Bears now. And like for baseball, I think you could do Cubs-Cardinals. So just wanted to get that out of the way. It's good to be able to say Detroit sucks and have it be factual.
I think though, like, I just want to throw this out there. I've been to all these cities. I've been to a lot of Cubs Cardinals games and those can get brutal, but I think everybody can agree that we just don't like the city of St. Louis, no matter what baseball team you like. Like, that's just a different breed of people.
I think the city of Detroit, having been there, is better than the city of St. Louis.
I'll ride with you on that.
Yeah, and it's also just across the border from Canada, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got Tim Hortons there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. They got that on St. Louis. But that's probably about all that's really worth talking about from the last two games the Hawks had, because what we want to do now is look ahead to what is coming down the pipe for the Hawks, and it's going to be ugly, folks. Like, there's really no good way to sugarcoat what the next 3 weeks could be like because of all the teams the Blackhawks have to face. First off, they have three games against the defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning, all at the United Center, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. Then they play two against Dallas, who did go to the Cup last year, although they're not so great this year. Like, they won their first four and then have kind of sucked ever since. But then after that, you got two in Florida, two in Tampa, and then two at home against Florida. So that would be 6-9 of your next 11 games are against the top two teams in your division, who I think most people would objectively say are significantly better than the Blackhawks. So we try not to go too far ahead of ourselves. So maybe we focus on the short term of because the short term is just as bad as the long term. The short term is the Hawks have back-to-back games against Tampa on Thursday and Friday night, and then another one Sunday afternoon, and that's scary, especially with the way the first two games this season went. So, Shepard, I'll start with you. How are you feeling about all this coming up?
Better if Malcolm Subban can return to his form before the
Malcolm
game.
Malcolm Subban's the guy you were worried
about. Yes, because I'm not worried about Kevin Lankin. Let's be honest here.
I'm worried about anybody that's not on the Tampa Bay Lightning. So,
but like those first two games against Tampa, which is the last time that the Blackhawks saw them, was in early January.
Yep.
Mid January. The goaltending was still trying to get it figured out. The team as a whole, without a preseason, was still trying to figure it out. They didn't play great hockey, but part of that was just, again, figuring it out. This team has it figured out more than they did in early January. It's hard to say that they've got it figured out. Period. Their possession numbers are still bad, mm-hmm. but they've got it figured out more. And the goaltending is largely figured it out and is the rock of this team. I believe the Blackhawks can grab at least one of these games.
All right. I mean,
I don't think that's a bold take.
It is three games. Like they played the series against the Golden Knights last postseason. Like nobody expected the Hawks to win, but everyone's like, well, maybe they'll get one. So, and they did because
well, Crawford will get you one. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe Kevin Lankinen will get the Hawks one in these three.
Yeah. And like, again, if Subban returns to that better form he had, then they have a good number one and a good number two in three games in four. And that's a chance.
Yeah.
I guess
a chance is better than what we thought coming into it. I guess what I'm trying to reckon with is like we talk about the possession things and this is what concerned me about this whole game is because the Hawks really haven't consistently had quality possession, haven't gotten a lot more shots than their opponent. And if you do that against the Red Wings or the Blue Jackets or the Predators, you can probably get by with that because they don't have a lot of good players that are going to make that extra possession time hurt. The Lightning are loaded with that. So if you give a team that has the ability, like if you give Tampa more possession and more shots, more chances, more scoring opportunities, they're going to have the guys that can finish on it. And so that's where my main concern is because they've kind of been playing with fire with all these possession things that if one of the, you know, someone from Detroit or Nashville had a night, they would lose because of they would not have the lion's share of attempts and shots and all that. So if they do that to Tampa, I mean, they'll score three goals in 5 minutes in the first period and then just coast to the win at the end, kind of like the way they did in the first game of the season.
Right. Even without Nikita Kucherov.
Yeah. Even without probably their best player, they still have Cirelli and Point and Stamkos and I'm sure I'm forgetting several.
Joseph, and then
Victor Hedman on the blue line, and they still got Vasilevsky in net. So
McDonough.
Yeah, they've got plenty of guys who are going to cause problems for the Hawks. It's not ideal. But like I said, it's three games in four nights, so that does lend itself to something weird happening. I think if the Hawks get 2 points out of these three games, I'll be thrilled.
Yeah.
What are you thinking and feeling about these this upcoming fun stretch of hockey we're about to have?
You know, it's hard to predict what's going to go on with this team. Like, I think we've learned that through half the season.
True.
But it's one of those weird things where they might get one. You know, you can always goalie somebody. And there's been a lot of small things that I've actually have liked. Adam Boqvist has looked really good lately.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
DeBrincat is just turning into an all-star. And yeah, obviously Kane's been tearing it up. But you know, and then there's other guys too. Shepard put out a nice piece about it today. But it's hard for me to believe that they're going to be able to skate with Tampa Bay. Because if you look at how many rushes they gave up against a shitty team like Detroit, that's kind of what killed them is their defensive, their transition game and their defensive system against a team like Tampa Bay didn't give them a chance. So I have a hard time. I mean, maybe they'll get one. I'd love them to go for the sweep and just go on a run here. But I mean, I just don't know. Like, it's hard for me to believe that they could skate. I mean, you guys been watching Tampa Bay? It's, you know,
every time I do, it's just, it's like, I was watching, I even had this a little bit watching Florida and Carolina the other night. It's just there's a pace at which they play. It's not only their skating, but it's also like, the way they move the puck and they move themselves, just everything is constant motion. And it seems like it's just a notch above what the Hawks can do. I guess up and down the roster, like there's been glimpses in the last couple of weeks with that line of Suter, Kane and DeBrinket turns it on and get ever. And there was an extended shift in Detroit or against Detroit when it was those three up front and Boquist and I think DeHaan, but DeHaan pretty much like stood at the blue line at the boards and just watched. But those four guys just ran a cycle, moving the puck all over the place. And like that looked like what Tampa can look like at its best. So I think the Hawks have one line that at times can keep up, but they don't have four lines that can do that.
But the problem is John Cooper actually plays matchups and yeah. Colleton doesn't. So he'll recognize that. And even if he doesn't have last change, like he does it on the road, he'll take that one line out of it. And then you're left with David Camp and, you know, Carpenter trying to score, which is fine. But like, you can't depend on your fourth line to win you a game in the offensive zone against a team like Tampa Bay.
Right. Like that's the Carpenter Camp line is their statistical best line, but like they just have zero finishing ability.
Right.
So they're not actually a threat.
Yeah. And that's going and with the Hawks only having one legitimate scoring line threat right now, you put Victor Hedman out there against them and at minimum contain them, if not outright stop them altogether. The Hawks don't have a counter to that, really.
It's, yeah, especially with Carlton's line blending. I mean, it hurts that like they can't go to Kurashev, Strom, Kubalik right now because Strom's hurt, but they got to figure out lines that work.
Yeah. And the other thing that I was so the thing that the Hawks have really been riding for the first month and a half, 2 months of the season that got them to where they are now, which is holding a playoff spot on March 2nd, defying most of the expectations, if not all of them. But it was really good goaltending and special teams play. The penalty kill was good. The power play was converting at a rate that was unsustainable and still is pretty close to unsustainable because it's at. They're at a league best 33.33%. So they've converted on 1/3 of their power play chances. And going back to, I think I've mentioned this before, but the last time any team finished with a power play over 30% was like 1972. So that number is going to come down. Still number one in the league, which is encouraging. But the reason I brought all this up is because do you guys know where the Blackhawks penalty kill is ranked right now? Because about 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, it was in the top 10, I'm pretty sure.
It's not very good.
No, it's like 20, I would guess 25th.
It is 23rd. They're at 75%. And guess where Tampa's power play is?
Second.
Seventh. They're at 26.98. So that is to say, and also I should mention, Tampa's power play is second at 88.06%. So all that is to say, the special teams battle that the Hawks decidedly had over a lot of their opponents when they were beating these teams, they don't have that anymore either. So that's another thing where maybe, you know, it freaks off for a night and they get the power play goal that they need to win a game. But that's another thing that Tampa can match them with that. And the Hawks may not have a counter to that as well.
I just don't think that the Hawks can power play their way against a team like Tampa or even Florida because there's too much difference 5-on-5 to, you know, what are you going to do? Score 5 power play goals? Is Tampa going to take that many penalties even?
Right, right. Well, usually the faster team doesn't take as many penalties because taking penalties is usually a result of being out of position or having to catch up to somebody. And Tampa
doesn't like hits.
Or taking a hit, yeah.
Yeah. So here, like, I guess it's kind of hard to define, like, what we're looking for. Well, let me backtrack that. I think what I want to do with you guys is kind of what do you want to see? And not in terms of like results on the scoreboard, because, you know, we're not really talking about playoff chase yet. If we get to April, the Hawks are still in the playoff chase, then we can do that there. But just, I don't know if it's from a, from a strategy thing or from a player thing. I don't know what kind of thing it can be. This is kind of an open-ended question, but Shepard, I'll go to you first. What do you want to see the Blackhawks do in these three games against Tampa? That'll leave you feeling good if this happens.
Starting with Tampa, I want to see 4 wins in the next 3 weeks because I think they can get 4 wins. But
Wins in the next 11 games.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I mean, again, we are talking about two teams that are for sure better than the Blackhawks and one team that is probably for sure worse than the Blackhawks and the Stars.
Dallas has fallen.
Yeah. They're no good. Yeah, they're no good. But if they come out on Thursday and get embarrassed by the Lightning, I want to see the youth the rest of the way. I just want to see them get like serious minutes. I want to see Ian Mitchell put up a 20. I want to see Adam Boqvist put up like a 22 in terms of time on ice. Especially alongside like good partners like Connor Murphy. I want to see Kurashev get serious minutes. I want to see Kubalik get serious minutes. I want to see DeBrincat everywhere.
I guess like less about like player to point, but like, what do you want to see the player? Is there something that you want to see the players do, see the team do on the ice that will, even if they lose all three, that maybe you can come away with and say, all right, that didn't suck as much as I thought it would.
A better save percentage than they had in the first two games.
Okay. Cause it was somewhere in the mid to upper 80s, if I remember correctly, or 800s, mm-hmm. What have you.
They have a save percentage above 900, just 900 flat. I'm happy.
Okay. Mill, what about you? What are you going to have your eye on for the next three games?
All right. So in the defensive zone, I know they're not going to change their system. So I really would just like them to stay in position and not chase hits. I think if you can stay in your lane and not force your guy to pinch up and over, it'll be a lot better on the scoreboard, or at least for the shots.
Okay.
I think staying in position defensively, and then I'd like to see cleaner zone exits and entries. And then the offensive zone, try not to get killed on the outside, set up, try to create some shooting lanes. Just give yourself a chance to win, because they've been getting suffocated in certain situations and they don't make adjustments. And that's just a little worrisome for me.
I think the thing you said about a chance to win, I think that's my biggest thing. And I think this kind of goes back to what we were talking about at the start of the season, that, you know, regardless of, like, none of us expected the Hawks to be where they are right now, but we all knew it was going to be more of a focus on the younger players, and they were going to, you know, try and develop some of these guys that have been knocking on the door for a while. But it's hard to do that when you have games like they did the first three games of the season, when it was decided by halfway through the second period, if not sooner. So the idea that you said, Mill, about giving them a chance to win, I just want the games to be competitive. I think that's where my bar is set. Especially against Tampa, if they lose all three, like, tip your cap, Tampa's really good and the Hawks are building for the long term. I wouldn't be devastated if they lose 3-1 goal games. I can live with that. If they lose of three games by 6-1, then everything you've done the last 6 weeks feels undone. Granted, players will make progress, all that stuff, but any sort of confidence that might have been built by the players on the ice and the people watching them will evaporate immediately if they get housed three times by Tampa.
Yeah, no leads larger than 2 goals would be awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, even if they, you know, if you blow a 2 or 3 goal lead or something, like, I just have the game make the game be 60 minutes. I think that's all I ask. Which doesn't seem like a lot, but the way the first 3 games went this season, it would be a step in the right direction if they have 3 competitive games against Tampa based off the way the season started.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa is that good, though, too. I don't think, like, when we're saying this stuff, don't get me wrong. I've been hard on the Hawks, but Tampa, they're that good. Like, it's not like we're saying, oh, the Hawks have no chance because they're absolutely terrible. It's like they haven't been playing great, but Tampa is a powerhouse even without Kucherov, you know?
I can't believe they're still this good. Like, and maybe this is the way people felt about the Hawks when they were still winning in 2015. Well, yeah. But
look at John Cooper.
Yeah, like the last time the Hawks were in the Cup, like, it was against this team. And a lot of these names are still here. Stamkos is still here. Hedman's still here. Killorn's still here. Palat's still
here. Johnson is still there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they've added, you know, they picked up Braden Point and Cirelli and Sergachev and a few other guys and Vasilevsky and Net. So,
yeah, well, he was the backup, right?
I think so. But
and he played in that series.
Yeah, he came in for like a little bit.
Yeah, because Ben Bishop got
him. No, I think he played the majority of the series, I think.
No, it was Ben Bishop, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was Ben. Well, we can look at that, but I'm just, to Dave's point, it's a very good team. And the thing is, if you don't have Stamkos in the lineup, or clearly they've been missing Kucherov, they play within a system where they are guys that they have are capable of filling those roles. And they're hard to beat because, you know, they all pick up the slack where someone else leaves off, even a powerhouse guy. The Hawks have injury problems. And I mean, you know, it's tough to fill those roles.
Yeah, any team's going to struggle to replace their top two centers.
Well, except for Tampa somehow.
Well, I guess just be Tampa.
Yeah.
Like they are
relocate.
They are the standard now in the NHL for sure, and they are the team that everyone is trying to catch. And by the way, to go back to the thing you said, Vasilevsky played in two games. In that series.
Okay. Well, I want to just say too, Dave, like the Hawks were the standard. Now it's teams like Tampa, Vegas, Colorado. It's all about who's the fastest team is, who's also good. It's like you can be fast and bad, or you can be good and slow, but it's like if you can't skate with these teams and they're better than you, it's tough to beat them.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I feel like the Hawks on the blue line especially are moving in that direction. Because all the guys that they're, you know, all the young guys that they're grooming right now, Mitchell, yes. Boquist, Bowden, they can all skate.
Yes, so, absolutely.
And you know, Kane still moves pretty well. He's never been a burner, but he's always been able to skate well enough. DeBrincat skates pretty well. Suter can fly. Kuryshev can fly. So
Hagel's the fastest guy in the league.
Yes, Hagel.
Kubalik can move.
Yeah, Kubalik can move. So they're getting there. It's just. You know, it's putting the whole package together that we hope happens in the next two or three seasons. And, but then they also have Nikita Zadorov. So,
for how much longer do they have Nikita Zadorov is the question.
35 games, I hope.
Don't talk crap about Zadorov, Dave. He's still adjusting and developing to the league. He's a young guy.
He's 25. 26.
Every single thing I read of him.
He's in his prime. What are we doing?
I've been and even when they're shitty, the same as he's been. It is what it is. But hey, he had a nice goal the other night, so good for him.
As soon as he scored that goal, my first thought was, I didn't know he could do that, and B, I think that just served as a good reminder that if you give any NHL player the entire slot to navigate – to skate towards your goal and then fire a wrist shot completely unchallenged by a defender, he's probably going to score.
Well, yeah, if you're in the NHL, you have to be able to do that.
Yeah, like 80 to 90% of guys in the league are going to score. Credit to Zadorov. He has a better shot than I guess I realized, but the number of times that he will have that much time and space in that position again in his career, you can probably count on one hand.
And that's the thing I complain about is if you want to play Zadorov in the offensive zone and you cycle and then you give him time to set up a shot, kind of like how Seabrook used to, like, that's great, but they can't do that.
Right, because they don't cycle that well.
They can't set up. And to the Hawks' credit, every center they have is pretty much dead. So it's tough to deal with.
You know, I was saying about two centers. They're down three centers right now.
Yeah, because Dylan Strome's out. Yeah.
And Dylan Strome is, even before he was struggling, man. I mean, it's hard to watch.
Let's talk about the Blackhawks center for a second, because it's Strome, who's injured, Pia Suter, who's a rookie, Carl Soderberg, who looks 35.
He is 35.
David Kampf, who's really solid and really good at possession. Yeah, I know. He's 35. He looks 35.
He wears 34, though, so.
Yeah. And then David Kampf, who's really good at possession and not much else.
I mean, Kampf is like the guy who is like doing his job because that's what he's supposed to be there to do, you know?
Yeah.
It's
not his fault. Everyone else is hurt.
Right. But like, he can't be a top line center though.
Yeah. No.
And in spite of all of that, they're in a playoff spot. Like this, I don't think we've and it's hard to do it in one podcast episode, but I don't think it's kind of difficult to fully grasp how ridiculous it is that this team is in contention for a playoff spot right now. Because they have no business being there. Like
Kevin Lankinen needs to be in the heart of conversation bigger than he is.
Well, you can settle for a Calder Trophy.
Can you though? Because Kaprizov is killing it.
If anybody from the Hawks gets a Hart Trophy, it's going to be Kane.
All right, but I think we're looking at all these Florida games because they're coming up, Tampa and Florida. But you know, to me, what's going to be a real, really going to answer some questions is when they get to see Nashville again, because Nashville totally sucks, and they the Hawks couldn't score on them at all. So I'm kind of thinking if the Hawks go in there and just pound them, like I'll be like, all right, the Hawks are making progress. But if they can't skate with a team like that, it's really going to tell me, okay, like Columbus sucks. Obviously, Detroit sucks. It's like it's just kind of the Hawks are better than some of the teams that they have to play. That's kind of where I sit.
There is something to be said for beating the teams that are worse than you. And like even if you struggle against the top teams, if you consistently beat the teams that are worse than you, that's half the battle of being a good team.
That's why I want to see against Nashville.
Yeah, beat the teams you should. And we just saw the Hawks lose one game to Detroit last weekend, so they're not there yet. I mean, even the Hawks in their heyday would every now and then lay an egg against – it was always Colorado. Somehow, even when they sucked, would somehow find a way to beat the Hawks for no reason.
Brendan Yip would, like, come out and just, like, light them up, and you're sitting there going, this guy hasn't scored in 200 games.
Or they'd go there's a reason I – Or they'd go to Edmonton and Sam Gagner would score 8 fucking points in a game.
Yeah.
Don't
There's a reason I hated Colorado before any other rival. Because they always ended the streaks. Like they ended Kane's point streak in that 1 year. They ended the 24-0-1 run.
Yeah.
Like,
By the way,
always Colorado.
While you guys were mentioning Nashville, who was already had plenty of issues. They put Ryan Ellis went on IR. He's out for 4-6. Luke Kunin's out 2-4. He's on injured reserve. And Ryan Johansson got put on the COVID protocol list. So things are going well in Nashville. Ugh.
But, yeah, pick up wins against Nashville and Dallas right now. You got to.
Yeah. I mean, it's with the way that they're sitting right now, if they beat the teams that they, quote, should – they should be in playoff contention. Even if they get their asses kicked by Florida and Tampa in the month of March, you can still at least be in contention for a playoff spot when we get to April, which, again, is a crazy sentence to say, but it sure beats being where the Red Wings are, I guess. So, but I think that'll do it for this this portion of the podcast. We're going to take a little break, come back on the other side of this timeout, and I think we got some questions and some food things to talk about, so we'll revisit that on the other side of this timeout.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison. And as promised before the break, we got a few questions from the Second City hockey community. By the way, if you're ever interested in participating in these questions, sign up at secondcityhockey.com. I will, every now and then, I pop into one of the articles and as solicit questions from our readers. So if you're interested in doing that, that's where you can find it. But let's see what we've got this evening. Still, JimL23 had two questions for us. The first one was about expectations for March. I think we've dove well into that, the first segment. But his other one was, I thought this was an interesting one, is in 25 years, so that'll be in 2046, if math serves me correctly. 25 years from now, who's going to have the most career goals out of these five guys? Ian Mitchell, Adam Boqvist, Evan Barrett, Mackenzie Entwistle, or Cam Morrison? It is Cam Morrison and not Brad Morrison.
Yes, Brad is the one we traded for Olimata. Cam is the Notre Dame free agent.
Okay. So there you go. Out of those five, who's going to have the most goals? And essentially, it's when their careers are over.
I'll take Boquist.
Yeah, I would. I mean, it's hard to really say. I'd like to say Boquist if he starts being more selfish.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, defensemen are a little behind the water because it's goals and they don't always score a ton. Although Mitchell and Boquist definitely have offensive ability. I'm kind of leaning Evan Barrett because I think in the next year or two, I think he's going to start knocking on the door a little bit. He seems like as long as everything goes well for him in Rockford, which I haven't had a chance to watch any Rockford games, so I have no knowledge of how he's doing down there. But there was reading a lot of the things about him in college and reading what some of the other quote hockey experts were saying about him. He seems like he's got a solid career as a third, maybe fourth line center brewing. So I think that would be my guy.
Yeah, because but that's the thing is that you have to think about his ceiling because he's a third, fourth line guy.
Yeah, but you can score 15 to 20 goals average like 15 goals for 10 seasons. That's 150 goals. That's a lot of goals.
I think a defenseman can score 20 goals, to be honest.
I mean, Duncan Keith's played 16 years and he's only got 101.
Well, that's Duncan Keith. Duncan Keith has never been a goal scorer.
Fair. Yeah,
that I think
the last
it's game. hard to judge guys who are still in college or playing at the Rock because it's a totally different game than the NHL.
Right.
And some guys look awesome because they're playing against tomato cans and then they go to the league and they can't play. Some guys don't look like they're going to be anything and then they're awesome in the pros. So it's really hard to tell.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of like a good comparison for like a guy who toiled as mainly a third or fourth liner for most of his career. So, I'll give you guys Marcus Kruger over under 50 goals for his career.
He's got to be under.
No,
he's over. It depends on he's hurt a lot.
Wait, push.
He played 520 games.
Push.
I think he's over by a couple.
He's under at 38. So maybe I should have went with Adam Boquist.
But I remember,
his career high was 9 in his first season in 11-12.
Okay, so he's 12 off, but in 500 games, you know.
So, yeah, all right. I still lean Evan Barrett because defensemen don't score goals as much, and I think it seems like scoring is on its way up across the league, so.
Adam Boquist could be a winger for what it's worth.
Yeah, Adam, and there are defensemen who can score 20 goals. Like Zach Werenski scored, 18 last season?
Something like that.
Well, I guess we'll have to revisit this in 25 years. It's like Twin Peaks stuff.
Yeah, we'll be at episode 3,297. And yeah, I look forward to that as well. When Patrick Kane Jr. is Patrick Kane III, isn't it? Well,
yes, it's Patrick Kane III. His son is the third.
There you go. I'm sure he'll be at least.
That's original.
So got another one from BMAC too, who was a frequent participant last week's question. So he's a regular in the ACH comment section, so I'm sure we'll see plenty of questions from him. But this is an interesting one that I hadn't thought about. The trade deadline's coming up. I believe it's at the end of March, right? Something
right.
Like that. Mm-hmm. I said, how do you see the temporary realignment impacting intra-division trading leading up to the deadline, specifically in the Central North this year? Next season, half these teams won't even be in the same conference anymore. So do you see that making intra-divisional trades more likely than usual?
No, if not, they're a rental. It's going to be about the same.
That's fair.
But that is a term.
I don't think teams like Tampa and Florida give a shit about they're going to get who they want because they're not afraid to play these teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's a older mindset in sports in general about not trading within your division. I think teams are more likely to do that than they used to be. Because I think they believe that they can get a mutually beneficial deal that helps both sides.
Yeah, and the free agency is a whole other world compared to what it used to be.
Yeah, until you're the Blackhawks and you trade Brandon Saad to Colorado.
I mean, he got traded this for this season though, and we're not playing him.
Yeah, that's true. That would be something interesting to watch. I think that thought in general of trading. Like I said, trading within the division isn't really as much of a taboo thing as it used to be. I'm trying to think if the Hawks and Wings have ever made a trade, or the Hawks.
Well, one comes to mind.
Yeah. Yes. One does come to mind. And maybe that's why I can't think of any trades since then.
I don't want to talk about it.
That's the Chris Chelios trade, for those of you playing at home.
We used to call him Judas.
To imagine a more favorable thing, there's also free agent signings from the Red Wings to the Blackhawks.
There is that. That is a much better fit, yes. Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about those instead, because the other one.
There's a bunch of guys like LaPointe and like guys like that who came over in the days where the Hawks sucked.
Oh yeah, that, like, it was the retirement home for former Red Wings players was to come to the Blackhawks, and
the point where the captaincy when a coin was hurt.
Yeah. Although, and then like Robert Lang was another one.
Yeah, and Lang was there in 2007-08, so they only missed the playoffs by 3 points that year.
Jason Williams is the other one that I was.
And then the other one, the greatest free agent signing in the history of Chicago.
Well, that's the one. Yeah. Red Wings.
Yeah, but Hosta was only there for 1 year.
Still signed from the Red Wings.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, to me, Hosa, I remember him more like as a Thrasher, or as a even in a Sens, he used to get knocked on his ass a lot.
My main memory of Marian Hosa before he came to Chicago was he was the guy that knocked Brian Berard's eye out.
Ooh,
yeah,
with an errant spinning slap shot attempt. And then because then Brian Berard came to the Hawks and got the Masterton trophy because he was playing with essentially one eye.
Well,
I think we've I think those are all the questions we had. And I think we've effectively wandered off the rails because I've mentioned Brian Berard. So I think we've gone far enough away from the planned topic that we could start to bring this in for landing. And I believe we're on the food take portion of the podcast. And I think it's my turn this week.
Mm-hmm.
To say mm-hmm. something other than desserts are good. So,
which is valid.
Yeah. I mean, not wrong, but I want to go the opposite direction and find a food that I feel like people put too much value on or just overrate in general. And I think what I've settled on is mashed potatoes suck. Of all the things you could do with potatoes,
mashing them
at the bottom of that list. Because does anybody eat mashed potatoes plain? No, you load them up with salt or butter or sour cream or cheese or all of the above,
you know,
just to make garlic. It taste good.
I think all potatoes taste better when prepared right, though. Like, most of them are bad plain.
Yes, potatoes are not a food you eat plain. Like, I'll have a take next week, but
you can't eat french fries plain?
I was going to say, I think I'm tired of fries.
You know what the best way to eat fries is? If you put them in a bag and shake them up with spices and pepper and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, they need to make them Five Guys style. You need to absolutely douse them in spice.
Yeah. All right, but I just – mashed potatoes, it's not even fine. Like, I feel every time you have mashed potatoes, like, you have to throw on like gravy or you have to add something else to it to make it good. And like outside of like just the regular spices, you have to
they're a side. And also it's a food conveyor for those tastes that you want, like butter and garlic and salt. Yeah.
Food conveyor.
Yeah.
I would bet you guys any money somebody out there puts ranch on their mashed potatoes.
Would you put ranch on your spaghetti?
Absolutely not. I would rather.
But there's so many good foods that use mashed potatoes, though. Because like shepherd's pie, there's Thanksgiving dinner, you need mashed potatoes on the table. Like,
no,
mashed potatoes are good.
No, I could have a perfectly sweet potatoes all day over mashed potatoes.
Well, okay, yes.
Sweet potato fries are so underrated.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sweet potatoes in general are underrated, so yeah.
I'm with you.
Yes.
But all right. Well, I'm glad I got to, I'm sure somebody is like ready to fight over the I don't need mashed potatoes at my Thanksgiving dinner.
We should take a poll. It's like, what do you disagree with most? Our food takes, our coach takes, or our defenseman takes?
And then the option D will be all of the above, and that's where all the answers will be.
Oh my god.
We have to do that poll after I've revealed my hottest defenseman take, though. Because Dave knows what it is.
Yeah,
Dave knows what it is.
Yeah.
You can tell me. We can tell me off.
Yeah.
Well, before you go and do something like that, I think we'll put a bow on this episode of Musings on Madison. Any other final thoughts?
Let's sweep the rest of the season. 23-0, second half.
They have more than 23 games left, though.
I thought they played. He's just saying they're going to have to forfeit like two or three because of COVID.
We're at 23. 23 puts us at 46 out of 56.
They have to play 33 more games. So 33.
Yeah, 33. Oh, really?
Yeah, damn. They have 33 more games.
We're not even to the halfway mark yet.
Why must they do this to me?
Oh, we're going to see Colin Delia more down the stretch.
They absolutely better. He's not dead.
Could be. Waking that Bernie style.
We have to see what he does in his conditioning stint in Rockford.
He was really bad in his first game in 6 weeks. Shocking.
You remember when they sent Dave, I guess it was Florida, they when Dave Boland went on LTI retirement, it was called it a conditioning assignment just because he was dead. And now he goes online and talks shit about Toronto.
The Dave Boland Twitter follow is pretty good because for some reason Maple Leaf fans have a personal vendetta against him, and maybe because he won two championships in his career. But
he's one of my favorite Hawks.
I am absolutely in the Dave Boland fan club. So
I got the jersey his rookie year.
I got it eventually, but not his rookie year. But
the year they wore black still.
He was the guy that the thing with him is I always thought he had more offensive upside because he put up some pornographic numbers in the OHL for London.
Well, it's a usage thing. Quenville used to start his line.
Yeah. Yeah, and like in his best season that he had, he was like a 50-point guy. Like he was not – he had more offensive upside, but once his body started failing him a little bit and he kind of lost that and then it didn't. But yeah, he had –
But before we get out of here, can I ask you one thing about Boland?
Go ahead.
Do you remember the 2011 Vancouver series and they're down 3-0 and then Boland came back and had a 4-point night to lead the comeback?
Yes. Yeah, well, the first goal of that game, he – killed Dan Hamm. He's behind the net, and the puck came out to Bickle. And
oh, you fucking destroyed him!
We could wax poetic about Dave Boland for another hour, but there's a Photoshop that exists on the internet somewhere, and it's Dave Boland like walking away from explosion, and says like now arriving at Vancouver, and a caption bottom says I'm back, bitches.
I went to his last game at the UC when he was at Florida. Like on purpose. I was like,
like on purpose.
He blows here and he just got a ton of money. He's probably done.
Hey, good for him.
Yeah, honestly.
All right. Well, I think now that we've gotten a Dave Boland appreciation minute, I think we can officially end this here episode of Musings on Madison. Thank you very much for listening to this episode. You can follow Mill at Mill182. Shepherd is at Shepherd Price. I am at _Dave Melton. Follow the main account at 2ND City Hockey. Visit secondcityhockey.com. We got plenty of content, game days, not game days, practice updates, all that good stuff. I think we've even got another prospect update coming to you pretty soon. So keep an eye out for that. Keep an eye on these airwaves. We'll have another episode coming up next week. And I'm sure more deep dish episodes coming on Mondays as well. So I think that'll do it again for this episode. For Mill, for Shepherd, I'm Dave. And as always, go Hawks.